Good evening. If you want to go ahead and open up to Matthew 14. Matthew 14 is where we're going to begin in a second. So Tim and I are going to kind of split this, tag team this lesson. And we're going to talk about Peter tonight. So I will take Peter up through his time with Jesus, and then Tim will tell us about Peter during Acts and kind of beyond, what happens after Jesus leaves. And I think Peter is an interesting character, right? I think both in Bible study and then also probably in how we like consume culture in general, we like characters that are either all good or all bad, right? It's easy when you have an all good character because then you can know, I want to be like that character, right? Or if you have an all bad character, you don't want to be like that character. Or if we have a character that's kind of good and bad, we like characters like Paul, who it's pretty easy to know, he's bad, and I don't need to persecute the church like he was persecuting the church. And then he becomes good, and I need to spread the gospel like he spreads the gospel. But Peter's a little bit more difficult, especially in the Gospels, because he both does good things and he does bad things. Sometimes even in one story, he'll do something that's incredibly good and powerful and then follow it up by doing something that's really dumb and sinful, even. And so sometimes characters like that are harder to study, harder to look at. But I think studying them is valuable because they reflect how we act oftentimes. I think about myself and how often I do something that I think probably is what God wants me to do, and then I follow it up by something that's probably not as much of what God wants me to do. So looking at Peter, I think, serves as a valuable opportunity for us to look at what happens when we sometimes do good and sometimes fail. And so what I'd like to do is look at three stories from the Gospels of Peter, and then from each story try and take three things. The first would be, how does Peter act that we can learn from? How does Peter act that we also can act, right? What does Peter do that's good, basically? The second thing I want to do is, how does Peter act that I can learn to do the opposite of that? So what does Peter do that's bad that I can learn I should do the opposite of what he's doing? But then the third thing, because Peter's not the main character in any of these stories, Jesus ultimately is the main character, so the third thing I would like to do is look at, how does Jesus respond to Peter in each of these stories? So the first story we're going to look at is walking of Peter and Jesus walking on water. That takes place in Matthew 14. So in Matthew 14, if you haven't turned there, go ahead and turn there. And the story takes place right after the feeding of the 5,000, right after one of Jesus' most kind of public and big miracles. Jesus has decided he wants to go and pray, and so he sends his apostles off to ride a boat from one side of the Sea of Galilee to the other. And that boat ride takes place kind of at night, and in the midst of the night, a storm happens, and it's, by the time we get to this story, it's 3 or 4 in the morning, the storm is raging, winds are high, waves are high, and the apostles look, and they see someone on the water. We'll pick up in verse 26, it says, "But when the disciples saw him," which we know is Jesus, but they don't know that yet, "walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It is a ghost,' and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' He said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. Beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, 'Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" So this is a story, right? And we want to take three things from the story. The first is what does Peter do that we can act like Peter, right? How can we act like Peter? And the way to do that, I think, here is to take big risks. Peter sees Jesus can walk on the water. And even though Peter understands that normally he, being a man, can't walk on liquid, he understands that Jesus can make him be able to do things that typically he wouldn't be capable of doing. So he takes a big risk, and he walks on the water. He asks Jesus, and Jesus says, "Yes, you can walk." We know, obviously, from this morning's lesson that miraculous things don't happen in today's world. But we too, if we want to be like Peter, need to be willing and able to take big risks for the gospel, right? Put ourselves in uncomfortable situations for the sake of Jesus, understanding that he allows us to be able to do those things. But the second thing we need to do here is to learn from Peter. What does he do
that's bad that we need to change. And I think what we learn from Peter here is that we need to not let our fears triumph over our faith. So Peter starts by having faith. He starts by walking on the water, but when he sees the wind, his fears take precedent over his faith, and he gets scared, and he stops looking at Jesus, and that's when he starts to sink. We need to not let our fears take triumph over our faith. When we take those big risks, we're going to end up in uncomfortable situations. But if we want to be like we need to be, we need to continue to have faith in God that allowed us to enter those situations to allow us to get us through those situations. But the third thing we want to do is look at how Jesus responds. And I think we see how Jesus responds is that Jesus rescues and that he challenges. You'll see a word in verse 31. After Peter cries out, "Lord, save me," it says Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him. Jesus doesn't say, "Oh, Peter, I want to teach you a lesson, so I'm going to let you sink for a little while, and then after a little while, I'm going to pull you out." He immediately, when he sees his friend, when he sees his disciple in danger, he reaches out and he saves him, because that's who Jesus is. But he doesn't leave it at that. He also follows up by telling Peter, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" He challenges Peter to push forward, to have more faith. He both rescues him, but then he's also challenging him. And I think it's interesting that in verse 33, at the end of the story, the other disciples say, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I think when the disciples have seen both the love that Jesus shows as well as his power, that's when they're able to understand that Jesus is the Son of God in this story. So that's our first story and three things we can learn: to take big risks, to not let our fear triumph over our faith, and that Jesus will rescue and challenge. Our next story takes place just a couple chapters over in Matthew 16. In Matthew 16, Jesus is going to ask his disciples two questions. And Peter responds at first well and then not so well. And we want to look at that story and learn from Peter once again. So we'll pick up in Matthew 16 and in verse 13. It says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter replied, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.' Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ." So we see Jesus ask, who am I? And Peter responds, "You're the Messiah, the one prophesied about in the Old Testament that's going to redeem Israel. You're the Son of God. You are God incarnate." He says it more simply than that, but that's what he says. And Jesus praises him for it. But that praise isn't going to last all that long, because we pick up in verse 21. It says, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you.' But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on things of God, but on things of man.'" So Jesus then has to rebuke him because Peter challenges Jesus and doesn't understand who Jesus truly is. So again, we want to pull out these three lessons. First, how can we act like Peter in this story? I think the first thing is, if we're going to act like Peter, we need to make bold confessions. Peter boldly claims that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, and if we want to act like Peter, we too need to be willing to boldly profess our faith, boldly claim who we know Jesus to be. But at the same time, if we want to learn from Peter, I think what we need to learn from Peter here is that we need to not stop learning about Jesus. I think what Peter does is he assumes that because he knows Jesus is the Messiah, that he knows what the Messiah is going to be. He has this preconceived notion in his mind that the Messiah is going to come and he's going to conquer in this earthly way. And when Jesus challenges that and he says, "No, as the Messiah, I'm going to come and I'm going to suffer and I'm going to be killed and then I'm going to raise from the dead," Peter can't handle that, because he has put Jesus into this box of what he thinks a Messiah should be. And if we want to learn from Peter, we need to learn that we need to keep learning about Jesus. We may have faith that Jesus is the Son of God, but we need to continue to challenge our preconceived notions about what that might be and continue to look to Jesus and look to his word to continue to understand better what this idea of Jesus being the Messiah means for us and means for the gospel in total. But how does Jesus respond here? That's the third lesson we want to know. How does Jesus respond in this time? And I think how Jesus responds is this, that he sees what Peter can be, not what Peter is, and then he pushes him to get there. I'll say that again. He sees what Peter can be, not who Peter is, and he pushes him to get there. Look in verse 17. After Jesus says, or after Peter confesses, says, "You are the Christ," Peter says to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah." And then he says, "You're now going to get called Peter." And this word Peter means rock. And then he says, "On this rock, on your confession, I'm going to build my church on the fact that I am the Son of God." But calling Peter rock feels a little weird. If you have noticed, the whole point of this lesson is that Peter's not much of a rock. He does good things, he does bad things, he's kind of wishy-washy. And yet, Jesus is saying here, you are a rock, and you're one that I'm going to give authority to, which doesn't seem like a good idea if you're Jesus at the time. Peter doesn't seem like one you should give authority to. You never know what he's going to do. But I think Jesus is saying, I see you for more than who you are currently. I see what you can be, who you can become, who we're going to see him become in Tim's lesson. But he doesn't just see who he can be, he pushes him to get there. So when he makes mistakes, like he does later in trying to claim that Jesus is not going to die, well, Jesus is going to take the time to push him to understand who he really is. He's going to take the time to spend time with him to help him get to who he needs to be. He doesn't just see him for who he can be, but he challenges him, he pushes him along the way towards who he can be. In fact, he'll take him on his next kind of activity in 6 days. Is going to take him to see him get transfigured. And once again, in that story, Peter's going to make this mistake and say something dumb. But Jesus continues to be with Peter and spend time with him to help him get to who he can be. So Jesus sees him and sees us also for who we can be, not for who we are, and he'll push us to get there, right? The third story I want to look at is kind of two stories, really, that mirror each other. And that first one takes place in John 18. We're going to look at Peter denying Jesus, and then what happens kind of after that in this conversation that Peter and the risen Jesus have. So, in John 18, we've come to the trials of Jesus. Jesus on the last night of his life, and Jesus, who was stuck with Peter all this time, is going to have Peter not stick with him. So we'll pick up in verse 15 of John 18. It says this, "Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood outside the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl, who kept watch at the door, and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, 'You also are not one of the man's disciples, are you?' He said, 'I am not.' Now the servant and the officers had a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself." And you jump down to verse 25, and it says, "Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, 'You are also not one of his disciples, are you?' He denied it and said, 'I am not.' One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, 'Did I not see you in the garden with him?' Peter again denied it. And at once a rooster crowed." So in this moment, in Jesus' darkest hour, Jesus really needs his disciple, his friend, to stand with him. And yet, Peter does the exact opposite of that. Sinning against Jesus in this big way. Turning against him, denying him in this crucial moment. And yet, we see at the end, it seems that Peter is remorseful for his action. And kind of in the interim between this story and the story we'll look at in chapter 21 in a moment, Peter returns to the other disciples, he spends time with them, and then when Mary comes on the third day and tells them, "Hey, Jesus is risen from the dead," we see Peter running to the tomb, trying to get that opportunity to be back with Jesus. And he gets to spend time once again when Jesus raises from the dead. And we see that in that time spent with Jesus, they have this conversation in John 21 and starting in verse 15. It says, "When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, Do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Feed my lambs. He said a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he had said to him a third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to undress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying these things, he said to him, Follow me. So Peter, or Jesus has this conversation with Peter in which he gives him this charge, Tend my sheep. So again, in this third story, we want to take these three things. How can we act like Peter? What can we learn from Peter? And then how does Jesus respond? Well, how can we act like Peter? I think is this. When we sin, we need to repent and return. We see clearly that Peter sins against Jesus here and does so in a way that is damaging and challenging. And yet when Peter understands that he sins, he doesn't devolve into more sin. He doesn't turn farther away from Jesus, but he sees from the lessons from earlier that Jesus stuck with him and he seeks to once again return to Jesus. He returns to the other apostles. He returns to an opportunity when he gets to see the risen Savior. And he turns to spending time with Jesus and conversing with him once again. He repents of his sin and he returns to the one to whom he knew he did wrong, because Jesus is the only one that can offer that salvation. So how can we act like Peter? When we sin, we can repent and return. Well, what can we learn from Peter here? I think that lesson's pretty simple. Don't deny Jesus, right? Don't sin against Jesus in that way. When we're challenged, stand up, show our faith. Again, don't deny Jesus. But how does Jesus respond? And I think how Jesus responds here is that he shows grace and that he offers a task. Jesus allows Peter back. There's no reason Jesus has to allow Peter back. Peter has sinned against him in a very strong and very meaningful way, and yet Jesus accepts him back from the moment that we see Jesus risen from the dead, and gives him the grace and offers him the chance to once again have that relationship with him that he had prior to his death. And at the same time, though, in offering him this grace, he also offers him this task and tells him he has to have this task. That if Peter loves him, if he's truly repented, if he's truly turned back and wants that relationship with Jesus, then he's given this task to tend his sheep or to feed his lambs, basically to take care of his people, to be one that shows that same love that Jesus had to him, to others who will become Jesus' people. And so that's kind of the third story, that if we want to act like Peter, we need to repent and return when we sin, that we should not deny Jesus, but that when we do, that Jesus will show us grace, but that he also gives us a task. That he tells us that in loving him, we have a responsibility. So that's Peter during the time of Jesus on earth, one who is wishy-washy, but one who Jesus continues to work with. And we see that task that Jesus has given him. And in a moment we're going to sing a song, but then after that, Tim's going to get up and show us the ways in which Peter lives out that task. Peter learns from what Jesus has taught him in the Gospels. So we'll sing a song now.